Okay, Roger. And 5, 4, 3.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com.
Should we do 5, 4, 3?
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host. We got a fantastic treat for you today, and especially one for me. There's a ghost out of my past here, someone who used to play with me back when I had a different name, played a different instrument, lived in a different state. So today I'm pleased to welcome the Matt King Group, Matt King on keyboards, my old buddy Dave Phelps,
the ghost
on guitar.
Christmas past.
My friend Josh Dion from the Lazy Lounge Jam in White Plains and of the Josh Dion Rock Band. And on bass, Brian Colleen. Glad I have my cheat sheet. Matt, we first met through Gil Paris.
That's correct.
And you've asked me, has Gil done this? And the answer is no. And
but maybe someday.
Maybe someday we'll get the lawyers together, get it happening.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you can do it.
I'm glad you asked me.
I've seen you play with Gil many times. I recently reviewed Gil's live DVD, of which you might even have been wearing the same hat.
I think I was.
Same set of keyboards?
Yep. Nothing's changed.
So, tell me, do you mostly play as a sideman? Do you mostly do general business gigs? Do you mostly lead your own band? What's the story?
I do a lot of work as a sideman with Gil, who you mentioned, with Chuck Loeb, a great guitarist, who actually Brian and Josh are bandmates of mine in that group. And I work with, I do some gigs I'd rather not talk about. And every now and then I lead my own thing. Dave and I work together in a few different situations. And this and that, I mean, you know how what it's like. If you're a working musician, you just do a lot of gigs.
Well, you know, I had one guy in here and he was telling me this and this, and at the end I said, okay, so what pays your bills? And then he told me what really pays his bills is he has this little studio where people mail him tape or files and he produces CDs, and that's where he makes his money.
Right.
A lot of guys tell me it's not worth their time to go out for $100 a gig when they can teach, you know, two lessons and make $200 in an hour. So, do you do any teaching?
Yes, but not at those rates. I have to increase them, I think.
But of course, these rates are—they quote you one thing, and then there's the drive, then there's the mileage,
that's
maybe
true.
There's the gas. Who knows?
There's things factored in, yes.
Right, and maybe I'm exaggerating.
You might be exaggerating a little bit, but I do teach, and I like to teach, and I do put on the tux and go play private parties on the weekend, as many of us do. There's no shame. And I do, you know, my share of the low-end paying jazz gigs or whatever around town, but they're fun to do. It's fun to be out playing with great musicians and, you know, hanging with other musicians. There's a whole networking thing involved, too, with doing certain gigs. You know, just meeting people and being heard and being seen.
Now, when we were getting ready for this, doing the sound check, loading in, one of you guys said to me, what would happen if there was a jazz musician strike? And I guess the answer is if a tree falls in the forest.
Yeah, right. You said, would anyone notice if there was? Yeah. They might, I mean, especially around New York, the New York arts people like to think of it as the jazz capital of the world, which it probably is, but on the other hand, it seems like one of the places where jazz is routinely ignored a lot, you know, compared to if you go, I had a friend who just went to some small town in Germany and played some nondescript club, and it was an avant-garde setting, it was guitar, no bass, violin, something else, and these people went nuts. Whereas you could do the same thing in New York, people would be like, you know, in the back of their Bud Light, and, you know, I mean, it just...
Well, if you think New York's bad for jazz, it's awful for blues. Right?
It all depends on who you're playing. I'm not trying to paint a dark picture of it all, but I think there's so much that around is kind of like it can be taken for granted in New York, that there's so much great music, not just jazz, but everything, blues, whatever. And I think it's like the elephant in the room, you know, people tend to ignore it sometimes.
Do you consider yourself a jazz musician?
Yes, when I'm playing jazz. You know, I mean, because that's not all that I do, but, you know, and I say that kind of half seriously because, you know, people tend, they see you in a jazz context and they go, oh yeah, he's a jazz player, but, you know, the next day I could be playing country and western with the band, you know, for someone's wedding, or I could be playing gospel music. I played at Riverside Church a couple times with the gospel choir up there, which is amazing, but, you know, am I a jazz musician? Yes. Am I a gospel musician? Yeah, apparently so. Am I a classical musician? Yeah, sometimes.
What I notice different today than maybe 30 years ago, I've been playing a long time, is that musicians today can play within a genre. Like, you could probably play boogie-woogie country piano and have enough restraint not to throw your jazz riffs in.
Right. Yeah, there's a matter of taste, right.
Right. A drummer can play rock and know, you know, we don't need 10,000 jazz rolls in there.
Right.
So that's what I find today's musicians are more well-rounded and can play the various genres. Which leads me to, let's talk about the two pieces you're going to play for us today.
All right. The first one is, these are all my tunes that we're going to play today. They're falling into the general category of jazz fusion. I can't think of a better term to call it by. And this first one is called The Meters, and it's a dedication to a classic funk R&B band out of New Orleans. Art Neville from the Nevilles was one of the members of it, the organist. The Meters were just a classic band. I wrote this song first, and after I've been playing it for a while, I thought, yeah, it sounds like kind of like the kind of groove you know, The Meters might do. So it was like a post-mortem kind of dedication to them.
And the other song?
The other song is called Incognito, and it's probably the jazziest thing we're going to play. And that's, that I've also done in like an acoustic jazz setting also with like horns and upright bass. But we're going to funk it up a little bit. We're going to fusionize it, as it were.
Okay, gentlemen. Let it rip.
Yes, sir.
Two, three.
I wasn't sure what I should do first, clap or move my chair over.
Awesome, you can do both at once?
You know, in my younger days, probably. And probably in my older days, I'm hiring a system. Awesome job, guys. Awesome. And I know, Dave, when we used to play together, we used to do like Peaceful, Easy Feeling. That's quite a jam. Always said, man, he's always throwing...
We did ZZ Top, too.
We're going to do that next. That's so funny.
That's right. It's you guys are just grooving. I'm just so pleased to have you.
Thanks. It's a pleasure.
For the last segment of the show, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the questions that we talked about before, such as name two CDs you would bring to a desert island.
Yeah.
And people are basically really interested in hearing where your heart and soul is.
Of course. That's tough, especially when you like a lot of different kinds of music, but I guess, you know, obviously I lean towards the jazz stuff. I would have to pick Kind of Blue by Miles Davis, and I would probably, on the more electric side, I would have to pick Heavy Weather by Weather Report. I don't think I could live without those two.
That's just so interesting. I've been listening to, I've been trying to listen to Kind of Blue, but I much prefer Round Midnight.
Mm. Well, not a shabby album either.
If you could throw a third one in.
You know, I'm actually a big fan of guitarists, and I have the pleasure of working with some great ones. Dave in this band, Chuck Loeb, Gil Paris. I'm a frustrated guitar player. I wish I could play guitar, but I have absolutely no talent in that area. I'm a big fan of Bill Frisell's, and actually, I'm really, really enamored of his first solo album on ECM, which was called In Line. It's an amazing record, and that would be another one that would be hard to live without.
Let me ask you this question. You know, I was talking with a friend of mine the other night. You know who Sonny Landreth is?
Not the name.
He's a real famous slide guitar.
Okay.
He plays kind of New Orleans type, and he's invented this style of playing slide guitar. And he sings and he writes songs. But we were talking, and I was saying to my friend, well, who's going to play his records? You know, if he cuts the CD, where is he going to sell it? Now, we talked about maybe NPR, maybe some of the college stations.
One might say the same thing of this band.
Well, okay.
You don't have to say that word.
Well, let's address that.
Yeah.
Let's say your dream came through, Blue Note signs you, okay, or ECM.
You watching Blue Note?
Or EC, who knows and who lives in Westchester and what place?
Ed Reverb.
Ed Reverb, yeah, we're there.
So, what would your dream? Would your dream be to get it played on CD 101, or?
I think it's not really that market. I mean, that'd be great in terms of exposure. You know, it's funny, music like this is kind of in the cracks, because it doesn't seem to be straight ahead enough for a station like WBGO in Newark to play it. It's not commercial enough for CD 101 to play it. However, I think there is a market for this kind of music. I mean, speaking of guitarists, you got a guy like Oz Noid doing stuff kind of similar to this. You know, every week down at the Bitter End, which we'll be playing at, and hopefully that'll be a regular thing for us, us appearing at the Bitter End. But I mean, I don't know, it seems to be more like an independent kind of crowd that finds this music, seeks it out, and will buy it either online or, you know, when bands like this play live. I don't know if there's a radio station outlet for this.
Well, it is possible to make money through touring nowadays. That's what a lot of bands are doing. A lot of record companies are signing what they call 360 deals, which I think is a complete ripoff. Basically, they sign you, but they want a cut of your merchandising, a cut of any commercials you do, because they can't make enough money from selling the CD.
Yeah.
So now they're going to
dip into everything, yeah. Well, I guess there's PBS, too. I mean, PBS would be like a logical outlet for stuff like this.
But, I mean,
public broadcasting.
Do you see a day where there's a big enough... Is there a circuit? Is there a club circuit where you can go on the road and take this music?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I would think a college circuit would be great, you know. Well, Josh would know more of that, because Josh's band is doing this kind of circuit. I mean, not this kind of music, but I mean, he's doing like an independent music kind of circuit already with his band all over the place. So, Okay. I don't know. It's just, this particular band for me is, this is actually the first time I've had an original project of mine. I mean, you're asking me if I do most of my work as a sideman or what. I mean, I actually do 95% of my work as a sideman. So this is the first original project I've led in about 20 years. So, you know.
That's a new number. I like that number. How old are you?
Four.
So, yeah, I mean, so I'm just beginning to think about what to do with this band besides playing, you know, local places like the Bitter End and whoever else will have us, you know. We'll see what comes of it.
And your feeling on the music business in general these days? In 1 minute or less.
In 1 minute or less. I mean, it's not looking good. It's not looking good in terms of, like, the traditional route that artists used to take. You know, getting a record label, getting a manager, blah, blah, blah. But it's looking good in terms of the independent thing and stuff that doesn't fit easily into one category or another, like this kind of music, because of the internet and because of self-promotion. You know, you got your MySpace, your YouTube, whatever else. And I think if you can create your own buzz, you know, and find your own market in the cyberspace somewhere, then you know, the business is actually, that part of it's looking good.
Yeah, I read that a record company will not sign you unless you have a big following. They don't even want to invest in building you up.
Right. This is kind of what it's come to.
Anyway, Matt, you are a fantastic musician. Very impressed by all of you. I don't know if my audience realized, these guys come in, they're reading charts, they're playing live. There's virtually no rehearsal, and it's just awesome. Thank you guys so much for appearing on my show.
Thanks for having us, Roger. Appreciate it.
And we're out.
All right.
Groovy.
Don't move, guys.